All right, so welcome to Unsigned 518. I'm here for a special episode. I have Aiden Hennessy of Dojo Beyond Time and Space. How's it going?
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm doing pretty good. The weather's a little musty outside, but we're getting through it.
Yeah, a little bit. And like I was saying before we got rolling to you, before I started recording, I'm sitting in my walk-in closet off of my bedroom upstairs because my downstairs is a literal construction zone right now. We're replacing a whole bunch of copper plumbing pipes. So it's like, you know, power tools and banging and dudes yelling. So if anybody hears any weird noises, it's not a murder happening at my house. It's just some construction. But anyway,
isn't that a metaphor for life? You know, are we all living in a construction zone?
Yeah.
And don't we all need our copper piper, our copper piping replaced?
An even deeper metaphor would be, I'm up here hiding in a closet away from a macho dude. So, you know.
Maybe like a Freudian type metaphor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, for sure.
That does sound kind of Freudian. Well, actually, my wife is down there with a hammer. She can help. I cannot. I'm better off just
God bless. No, I am outside of the showscape, I am not handy at all.
Oh, me neither.
It's funny, I can build a fake wall. I can build a fake wall so well, but if you tell me, like, make it a real one, even though the components are roughly the same in terms of, like, framing, absolutely can't.
Yeah, I could build, like, a digital one. Or I could create the sounds of somebody building a wall and have it sound accurate, but I couldn't actually.
Are you a big Foley guy?
I am, yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if you watch any of my social media videos for either Unsigned 518 or Shortwave Radio Band, you'll notice the one thing is that the Foley work on my videos is above and beyond, because
God, I'm so jealous. I do all these like little improv shows and stuff like that, and I need a mentor. I need a Foley mentor, because I am so bad at doing the sound effects for my improv shows. I just gave up, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm an actor now, because this whole making sound business isn't
be able to do it like on the fly, like in a live situation. Mine's more like, take 1 second of an audio clip and work it until it sounds great, then move on to the next 1 second and then work that until it sounds great.
Yeah. No, I'm my own production team as well.
Nice.
It is funny, you know, I used to do, as a joke, like credits on videos I used to make, and it was director, producer, actor, sound designer, everything, Aiden Hennessy.
Yeah, well, if you got it, you got it. You know, there's no sense in pretending that it's not all you, you know, because I'm, you know, same way.
Wow.
I'm a complete one-man production, and I'm like, I call myself the host and producer, you know, even though it's...
Yeah, but I mean, now I'm very blessed to have so many incredibly talented collaborators that I've gotten to meet through doing the dojo, and I can't credit them enough, as much as I didn't credit anyone initially.
Right. And I guess that's what, you know, I want to, you know, we're already, I have a tendency to get off track, but like.
And I will not help that. Let
perfect,
me tell you.
Perfect. A great team then. But the way we got connected is a couple weeks ago, you sent me a message over socials and you were doing the Capital Region Feud and asked me to be a part of it. And I'm going to be honest, I had heard the name, the dojo, but I wasn't very familiar. So I reached out to my buddy, Mikey Baish of Sugar Hold and Jive Hive Live, who, you know, is a close personal friend of mine. I've known him outside of music for years. And I was like, hey, you know, just, running this by you, you know, what do you think of the dojo? And he immediately was like, oh my God, Aiden is so cool. He's doing such great things. Like, he's awesome. Yes, you should totally do it. And I was like, all right, well, you know, that's enough of an endorsement for me. So then,
incredible shout out to Mikey. What a kind dude. He really helped me sort of bridge the gap between the DIY music scene that I was a part of, that is just like all college bands, and the sort of, I don't even want to say more mainstream type thing, but the people who play festivals and that type of jazz and stuff like that. He's been so fundamental in connecting me. But I have to say, I probably at least and this is no exaggeration, 10 people have told me, you got to reach out to Unsigned. We have such sort of a similar vibe, heuristic thing going on. I used to do a radio show that, while I hadn't heard of your show, it was basically the exact same format of featuring local bands, playing their music, and discussing their process.
What state? Where was that out of?
The college radio station. Old shout out, UA Radio. But yeah, that was incredibly fun. We set up a music studio in my attic, and we had a bunch of bands come in. Canela was one of my highlights. We had a couple sort of the local rappers, Lil Keo, Jose Vega, Catherine Grace. We had some singer-songwriters. They're all so phenomenal. I think I should probably pick up doing that again. But
you should, yeah.
Only and have I mean so much that time,
you know,
right?
Just do it. You know, as a podcast, you know, like
yeah. We have some episodes of the radio show out on YouTube, and I think it's a podcast, so I think you can listen to it in the background. And again, everyone can find me at the Dojo Beyond Time and Space. But yeah, no, that was so fun getting to do that, and that was kind of the venture I took after running the DIY house space, which was sort of the initial what the dojo was. And that's how I met Mikey.
Gotcha. And then
I'm a master at circling back.
No, that's good.
you thought it was an unwinding tangent that'll go on forever, but no.
I was hoping it was. I like unwinding tangent. But yeah, so like Mikey is who, you know, basically his endorsement was enough for me to literally just, I responded immediately as soon as Mike was like, no, that dude is awesome. I love what he's doing. I was like, cool. So I do want to talk about like the dojo in general, and then maybe kind of lead up to what I'm talking about when I say Capital Region Feud, because people may not know what I'm talking about yet. But so I guess explain what exactly is the dojo.
So the dojo is, I just consider sort of a collaborative of independent artists, and that takes so many forms. Initially, we were a DIY house, which was sort of the local Albany underground music scene. And we would host music shows, and often those music shows would feature comedians. So okay. We would do, you know, two comedians to start the show, and then have a band or, you know, comedian in the middle, do a little music sandwich right there. And we featured all types of musicians, from rappers, country, rock. It was, I think, mostly like alt rock, but I mean, we did everything. And it didn't just stay to music, you know? Like I said, it started, we had the comedians and the musicians. At one point, we were doing fashion shows, and we did comedy nights and improv shows. I'm just so in love with, you know, small-scale performance art. You know, that's really anything you can put on a stage and do live. That's just my meat and potatoes.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm, you know, I love like the live music, and I'm not necessarily into like the performing myself, but I love watching comedy, and I love watching improv, and I love watching live anything, you know, like anything. Like, you know, I like film, but watching something happen in front of you where, you know, if a slight nuance happens, and then you have to see somebody else react to that, and then it keeps, like, I love that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things of just, like, there's an energy sort of resonance to being there as it's being created, you know? When you're there in person and you're contributing to the energy in the room, not only are you watching and intaking that performance, but you are being reflected back into it, you know, and more so with you know, it goes with music, very much so with improv, you know, what you give those performers, they are literally taking and translating in real time into some sort of like built new reality and scene.
Right.
Very cool stuff. I enjoy doing that. But yeah, so that was sort of the initial thing with the dojo, is we were that DIY space, and we would host all different types of performing arts events. And then the dojo sort of came to a close. you know, you can't run those basement venues forever, peace and love, for a multitude of reasons. So after it got closed down, I had the radio show Beyond Time and Space while we were sort of rebuilding, and that was at the Albany radio station, the college radio show. Those guys are awesome. I mean, DJ Castro is absolutely killing the game over there as their general manager. I mean, it really runs like a legitimate radio station now. It's so cool to see, you know.
And that's something like with, you know, this day and age, you know, I'm fucking old. Like, I'm 51 years old. Like, when I was doing radio, like, I got into radio in the early 90s. And, like,
you know,
that it was like what you could do then compared to what you can do now. Like, when you said running it like a legit radio station, it's so amazing to me that basically all you need is like some computer technology, a soundproof room, and a microphone, and you can have like anything that you want to broadcast, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing how accessible the technology has become. And on top of, you know, your local radio station, you know, everyone has a podcast, and people are getting more and more creative every day. You know, I really love the old radio dramas. That was something I really liked listening to. And I'm going to say, like, growing up, but I grew up really close to Canada, and it would get to like 11 p.m. or something like that. And my folks would let me stay up to listen to like the old radio broadcast of Star Wars or you know, one of those types of shows. And with podcasts, it's been completely recreated, you know, between True Crime and Welcome to Night Vale. You know, radio is just having this total resurgence, but it's just not on the radio, you know.
Right. Yeah, and even, like, because I used to love, like, Art Bell and, you know, Coast to Coast AM.
And yes, yes.
Like, now those, all, like, those broadcasts are in podcast form on Spotify, and they're, like, fucking three-hour chunks of, like, a, you know, a mid-90s Art Bell Coast to Coast AM episode, the entire episode with, like, oh, my God, it's so, it, like, you know, I love that stuff, so... Yeah, I'm with you 1,000% on like the radio dramas and the like, and plus we need more podcasts in the 518. Like, I can't say it enough. Like, you know, I'm like,
oh, totally.
If you have
totally.
A microphone and you have something to say or you have an idea, no matter what it is, like, just do it.
I'm really hopeful. I have this improv comedy show called Quest Buds. And the premise is it's a Dungeons and Dragons one-shot campaign that we act out instead of, you know, playing over top of a board. And it's so fun. But I think it would work perfectly in an audio format, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things of getting everyone's schedules together to come together to make that. And if folks are listening and they're interested, August 30th, we're going to play at a Stax Espresso in Troy, the Quest Buds. So
nice.
I'm not one to miss a good shout out.
No, hell no. That's why we're in this, but, like, to make a community, you know, and that's how you do that.
Totally. And it's one of those things of building a consistent presence in like the audience's mind. You know what I'm saying? Like with bands, right? If you're putting out sort of like consistent releases, and your audience has something to follow, you know, they have performances to go to every couple of months, you know, or every couple of weeks, God willing, you know, it's a lot easier to keep up. And I think sort of the equivalent with that for comedians and other types of performance art people are podcasts, you know.
Right.
That's how you keep the audience sort of engaged in what you're doing and investing in you, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when you said like shows where you would have comedians and musicians, like, you know, because I'm a big stand-up comedian, or not stand-up comedian myself, but I'm a big stand-up comedy fan and like have been, you know, my entire life. And until you said that, I don't think I'd ever even really thought of having, you know, putting together a show with a comedian and, you know, doing what we do, how most of the bands kind of put their own shows together, you know, like you get a venue to agree to have you play and then you're like, all right, let me figure out some bands to play. I think having it, you know, because I know a couple of stand-up comedians, I think having one of them on the bill would be awesome. Even like running the show, you know, like before the band, in between bands, you know, like
one of the sort of pitfalls I'll warn you against is that stand-up comedy has to occur in a very specific setting. You know, we have very much trained ourselves to consume stand-up comedy in a comedy environment, right? So if you think about your standard sort of comedy club, it's seated tables. You are sort of radially around a comedian. And this breaks a little bit when they play theaters and stuff like that. But generally, the audience is seated and the lights are sort of down. So the audience has this sort of feeling of anonymity, right? And I think that that's very important. The other thing you have to do is you have to pair the comedian and musicians well. I think probably the best pairing is that sort of singer-songwriter type feeling, and you want to sort of match the audiences of the comedian and the musician. And I think that's like an instantaneous equation for success, you know?
Yeah, I guess I hadn't even thought of that because in, you know, some venues, the comedian might quote-unquote bomb, and then that could fuck up the whole rest of the night, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I don't want to name any names, but I definitely made the mistake of putting on sort of an edgier comic before a singer-songwriter who is very much in that sort of progressive vein of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it didn't work out to anyone's benefit, you know? So, you know, these are just a few of the things you have to keep in mind when you're booking mixed shows. But I mean, let me tell you, for every time that it's been a terrible failure, I've got five stories of when it was the best show ever and just got the audience truly engaged in dealing with the sort of personal elements of both and the vulnerability of both stand-up comedy and the sort of singer-songwriter type archetypes, right?
So we should, I guess, talk about the Capital Region feud that is going on. I've seen some stuff on Reddit about it. Those negative Nancys over there.
Hey, positivity won out in the end. I do.
It really did. There was some really great content. Like, I'm like one of those people that I firmly believe that, like, if you don't have anything nice to say, like, I know it sounds fucking trite, but like, you know, I see those comments and I want to be like, hey, you know, what the hell? But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to walk away. And then I see all the nice comments and I'm like, yeah, there are. See?
Yeah.
And, you know, it does warm the heart when you're like, those are my people. You know, the some of those comments were like, yeah, people are doing something cool and unique. And there's always going to be people that are like, meh. But I think they're just jealous. But anyway, talking about the Capital Region feud, I guess I want to know, like, I personally, because I've agreed to be a contestant, and you know, my bandmates have been like, so what's it all about? And I'm like, you know, I'm gonna be real with you, I don't know. So
and we appreciate that adventurous streak in you that would agree to do this.
Oh, you'll find out, like, because I have a feeling, you know, we'll probably work together again on something. But you'll find out about me as I say yes to everything. Like, I don't care. I don't care what it is. Yeah, let's check it out. I am an adventurous person. But tell me a little bit about what I've gotten myself into this time.
So the Capital Region feud, it's a little bit in the name, is similar gameplay to the Family Feud, right? America's favorite game show. But we did our own survey. We surveyed Capital Region residents, and we did Capital Region-themed questions. And people who are still interested in taking that survey can go over to my Instagram at the Dojo Beyond, and it'll be in the link. You'll have the ticket link and also the survey link.
And I can put those links in the show notes here as well.
I would appreciate it very much. And we would love to hear from your audience. But yeah, basically people will be playing essentially Family Feud. We have a couple cute little surprises that vary a little bit from the classic Family Feud recipe. One thing I'm really looking forward to is the lightning round. We are going to flash a picture of someone that we did a face-to-face interview with on the screen. You know, their face and the still from the interview, right? And then we will have all of the contestants guess, what do you think this guy answered to the question? And then we'll have all the contestants guess, and then we'll have we'll play the clip. What outrageous answer did this person give? And then we'll have the judges decide who was sort of closest, who guessed the closest. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And that's a pretty serious derivation from the Family Feud formula. But we have a bunch of really fun judges, hosts, guests. I mean, we really lucked out. People were very kind and excited to take part. Just a couple of the highlights. Gabriella Romero, who, if you live in Albany, is very likely to be our next sitting assembly member. They won their primary a little while ago. That was incredibly exciting. We have yourself. And we have WEXT's Andy Gregory, who does local 518 music. So that's a pretty big local music person we got. We're going to have a whole team based off of CZR Entertainment. Those are sort of my friends from the sort of DIY days. But I mean, they're great. They've just been killing the game. They've been doing sold out show after sold out show over at Son of Egg and all the other venues that they do. Just killing the game. And I'm sure they're going to kill this game too. But yeah. And our host, Michael Agumbiate, he is easily the funniest comedian coming out of the local scene. I probably could have gotten sort of a bigger name to host the show, but let me tell you, in terms of charisma, in terms of the ability to make a joke at any time, we got the right guy. We got the right host. So that's going to be tons of fun. Going to be a great evening, and there's going to be plenty of prizes. I don't think we have the grand prize quite totally figured out, but I got some good secondary prizes for the. I mean, they're not losers, but they're not winners. So
I believe they call them consolation prizes.
Yes, a consolation prize.
I almost said constellation, like it's a bunch of stars. They give you stars.
I think I've got the RFK brainworm that makes me forget words.
Mine's just called aging, out. You know?
Yeah, I've got no excuse. I was part of the reason for the name The Dojo Beyond Time and Space is I was an MMA fighter. I actually had my championship belt sitting above me where I'm giving the interview. So yeah, I was an MMA fighter for 3 or 4 years, and I like to blame the head trauma on a lot of my problems recollecting words.
Fair. I'm not sure if that was that long pause was a perk.
It was intentional. Right, you got right. me.
See, you know, I'm old, but I'm kind of quick. I'll be a good contestant on the feud. Now, so this is something that's happening in person, like studio audience with full set design. Like, tell me a little bit more about like what to expect, I guess, on that.
Yeah, so the show is at the beautiful MOPCO Theater. MOPCO is very kind to me, and they've given me a slot every other month there to put on whatever insane thing enters my imagination that month, and I'm deeply appreciative of it. And it's a beautiful, intimate venue. It seats about 80 people, and we do. We have full sets. There's going to be sort of a PowerPoint presentation that does some visual accoutrement that will serve as our scoreboard and some of the extra stuff we need done. But it'll be more than you're expecting from our sort of like a small town show in terms of sets we'll have there. It's a great time. There's actually, we're going to have a three camera setup going on. So, and we really hope people do come out to the show. But if you miss it, it'll come out on video, hopefully in the next couple of months. Nice. We got a cool little three camera setup there. And if people are interested in venues with live performance that are set to film, the Mopco's right there for you. So big shout out to those guys. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I for one, I'm super excited. Like I've, I grew up in the time with like the Richard Dawson Family Feud, you know, when, when it was like, you'd kiss all the ladies. And then there was like, I seem to remember like bouquets of like Tootsie Pops. Am I just having like a fever dream or something? Like
it's always been sort of, not like subversive, but definitely sort of towed the lines of what was sort of acceptable on like television.
Yeah. Cause there was a lot of innuendo, a lot of questions that were designed to get answers that were a little like, you see what I did there?
Yeah,
you
know? Totally. And I think we've largely avoided questions that are, you know, meant to be offensive or sort of like titillate for the most part.
Right. Well, it's not 1981 anymore, you know. So,
what? Yeah. I think there's one on the survey, but I think we're cutting that one from the show. But yeah, it should be really fun. Me and Mike got together to come up with the questions. And if people are interested in what questions we're talking about, again, you can go fill out the survey. Hopefully, it'll be in the description of this podcast.
It will.
Yeah.
Awesome. So when is the date again? And you know this. Oh, I actually know the answer. So, no, but
thank you. August 16th at 8 p.m. Is when the show is going to start. So get in early. We think we'll sell out. And you know, I completely forgot to mention this, and I should have said it at the top. Musical guest: Brule County Bad Boys.
Oh no shit!
So
I know those guys. They've been on the show. And we played a festival with them.
Great guy. Oh, what fest?
We played Nipperfest with them 2 years ago.
That's so funny. I was at Nipperfest and I was doing video for E-Block.
Oh, no way. Yeah.
Yeah. We did this cute little series.
We played just before we played on the same stage as Brule County Bad Boys, but it was like us and then Sugar Hold on another stage and then Brule County on the stage that we played. But yeah, they've been on the show. They've been out here to the Dazzle Den. Good bunch of dudes. I like those guys.
Nipperfest was a crazy fun show.
It was fun.
And I don't think they did it this year, did they?
No.
Well, God bless. But those folks do good work outside of the controversy. Yeah. But it was really fun. So last year, me and the E-Block, we got together and we were going to do a series of videos that was titled, what does the E in E-Block stand for? Like it was some kind of mystery.
I saw some of that on socials.
That was me.
No shit. Okay. All right. I do remember seeing those.
But yeah, so that blew up a little bit. And it was great for E-Block. And it was supposed to spawn. I mean, this is ridiculous. But luckily, I didn't sign any sort of confidentiality agreement with them. But it was supposed to spawn a set of sketches that were designed off of sort of the answers that we got. So we had people send in, like, what do you think the E in E-Block stands for? And we got a bunch of crazy answers. And it was supposed to inspire a number of sketches that were like, you know, the E in E-Block stands for electronica, and it would be their synth player. And we'd sort of retrofit him with some cool DIY sort of cyberpunky type outfit and have him do a little thing, and just do these short little vignettes on the various possibilities of what E could stand for. But it was just hard to film with everyone. So, you know, you schedule to film with one person, that's a part-time job. Scheduling to film with a band of five or six people, that is wholly impossible, and I'm shouldn't have imagined it at the from the onset.
Right. That is so funny because I totally remember those videos. And plus, E-Block are crushing it.
Oh, my goodness, right? I mean, so you know, good. They started out, they not started out. I don't want to take any type of credit for their incredible success. I mean, that
made
is all on
them.
No, not at all. Not at all. But Luke did, a couple of years ago, Luke and the E-Block were playing at the house venue I was running. And I mean, I swear to God, there's a handful of bands that you look at them and you just go, how are you here? You know, not even like, these are the handful of people that I think can make it out of here. These are, how in God's name have you not made it out here?
And there's some, you know, obviously pay attention to a lot of local bands and like, you know, my Spotify, like anytime like a band even comes across my radar, I go to their Spotify and follow them just because that's, you know, a fucking easy, simple thing to do to like give a little bit of support. And, you know, I listen to the E-Block quite a bit. And it's funny, every time I go to their page, I'm always like, well, that number of monthly listeners looks a little higher than it did last time I checked it. You know, their growth is fucking unreal. Like they're doing so good, man.
Yeah, I mean, their collaboration with Solihad, who's sort of a nationally charting artist, is what was big for them. But I mean, you can't, simplifying it beyond how incredibly talented all of those people are and determined to succeed. You know, it's, and you know, I really should shout out while I'm shouting out E-Block. James Soren, their former saxophonist, he is also incredible and helped build that band. And he actually helps me out with another music thing I do, the Capital Region Mario Kart Experience.
Oh, with the live band?
Yeah.
That's you
so we
too?
Have.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I'm everywhere, dude. Here's one truly, and I hate to talk too much about like the, you know, quote unquote, the business, because I'm sure general audience people don't really care too much about it. But one of my big sort of flaws is I do not put things in their sort of separate buckets, and I'm trying to learn and do better from it. Right, because I have these three or four shows that I do that are fairly high profile, but because I sort of mix the marketing on all of them, people don't know. People might follow one, get information for another one, and then they don't really know, like, what am I following, you know, because I just have such a broad array of things.
Right.
You know, so people might follow me from Capital Region, the Capital Region Mario Kart Experience, and then they see, you know, information for what's something else that I do that isn't music related, a stand-up comedy show, and they're like, this isn't what I signed up for, you know, let me go away, as opposed to you know, keeping those buckets separate and making sure that we're getting the dedicated audience for those things delivered exactly what they want, you know? And I think that's something I should learn from, but I haven't.
Yeah, it's tough. And like, sometimes that can be like a double-edged sword, because I like just experienced kind of the opposite. Cause like I've been doing Unsigned 518 for, you know, a little more than 2 years now. And then, after the whole, you know, cause I used to be on Nippertown, and after that whole, you know, a debacle happened and I left Nippertown, I decided, well, shit, I'm going to put out as much content as I want now because I'm doing it myself. So I started doing the Weekend Spotlight episode. And then I just started doing the Unsigned Unwind, which is local bands from all over the U.S. and Canada that I'm doing interviews with and like that show. And I tried to start that as its own completely separate thing. And realize very quickly, like, no, like, I have the audience with Unsigned 518. Like, I got to just roll them in together. Because trying to start it as its own thing was, fucking, it got nothing. It got, like, nobody heard it. And I was like, oh, wow. And then, like, instantly I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I got to figure out a way to keep them, like, on the same platform but separate. So what I'm doing now is they're basically all on the same podcast stream, but I created, you know, just a separate Instagram to be like, you know,
I mean, two sort of thoughts sort of spawn off of that is you already have this brand identity as a podcaster, talk radio type person, right? And Unsigned Unwind is still in that same similar beat. You know, I can't imagine that the people who follow you and listen to you and like your opinions and like the artists that you hear, I can't imagine that they're uninterested in when you broaden your horizon beyond the 518.
Yeah, and then, I mean, really all I'm doing, you know, and I'm uploading them as like, you know, they're 15-minute episodes and they're just a short form version of Unsigned 518, but it's just, you know, I've talked to people from Chicago and Detroit and Portland, Oregon and Ohio and like just all these bands from all over the place. And it's neat to just be able to be like, hey, what's the scene like there? You know what I mean?
Totally. Like, totally. Know? And you're building bridges, you know, someone that's been on your podcast and listens to your podcast might hear someone from somewhere else and it builds those sort of collaborative type things. Cause you know, you put someone sort of on a level and you expose them to a whole new media market, you know?
Totally. And if even from like a band perspective, like if one of those bands is coming through the Albany area, you know, they might be like, hey, Andy, you know, who should we set up a gig with, you know what I mean? And make like real life connections and real life collaborations and friendships. And that's the shit that I want to, you know,
absolutely.
In a perfect world.
There's no substitution for it. You know, there's no substitution for that sort of like in-person collaboration. People, I mean, we've been so enabled to collaborate online that I feel like people have gotten bad at you know, setting a time to show up, to do something, to work collaboratively, to listen, you know. And I'm certainly someone that works on that needs to work on those skills, you know.
And I even, like, on this show, you know, technically, I mean, you know, we're doing this remote, you know, you're on your microphone and your setup at home and I'm on mine, and like I could do every show like this, but I don't, you know, like I'm like,
yeah.
I just always say, like, people are like, how do we do this? I'm like, well, come to my house. Like,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Except for, you know, in circumstances like this,
the less car enabled of us.
Yeah. Well, you know, you live in a place. When I lived, I mean, I live out in, you know, the sticks now, but when I lived down in, I lived in downtown Troy for years, for, you know, probably a decade, and I don't think I had a car for more than one or two of those years, because it was like, it was just a fucking pain in the ass, you know.
So, how poppin' is that Troy music scene? I mean,
I say
no thanks to the mayor, etc., but you know.
Well, yeah, that's all brand new. But like I say that, like I feel like I like took a curse with me or something. Because when I first moved there in like the early 2000s, people, like, I was like, you know, I was moving from Vermont, like a small town in Vermont. Like I was like, I'd never like really lived in like a downtown before like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love this place. Like, it's coming up, and everybody's like, bah, you know, it used to be so shitty. It's like now kind of turning, and now 20 years later, like now that I haven't lived there in, you know, 10-12 years, like I'm like jealous that I don't live that. I, you know, I'm almost like, man, I kind of just wish that I hadn't moved out of Troy, because like that fucking scene,
that is so funny. I have an almost identical story. I mean, it kind of sounds like I've been trying to steal your identity this entire show. That's like, oh, I did the same radio show basically. And
trust me, you don't want my identity.
But yeah, no, I came from a very rural town in upstate New York, an hour north of Syracuse, a beautiful little city called Watertown.
I know Watertown.
Legally call it a city.
I used to work
but...
at WGY with a anchor from Watertown.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Do you, you remember that? Well, I, you know, either way, but yeah, just
do
this,
I remember
this
his
small
name?
Town.
I do. His name was Matt Del Signor.
Whoa. Yeah. No, very, very familiar.
He was a radio news anchor. Yeah. Oh, you do know him?
Oh, I mean, it's one of those things you sort of ambiently sort of pick
the name,
up there. You know,
the name,
there's four radio stations. So,
yeah. But he worked at, WGY. Yeah, because I've been at, like I said, I popped around radio for years. That was always my thing.
I mean, that's that is a great sort of like entryway into media. I'm finding out, you know, especially working with those kids in the college radio station. They all seemed to have some stuff lined up, whether it was, you know, working audio somewhere or some type of journalism, but just based off of sort of the portfolio that they had built, doing radio. I mean, it was such a great, leaping point, you know?
Yeah. And it was such a, like, or at least for me, when I got into it, it was such an accessible thing to get into, you know, like, and it probably still is that way, probably even more so. Like, if you're like, even like in high school, if you're like, hey, I want to do, like, there's programs like in high schools that, you know, the audio video shit, and like, you know, you'll be called the nerd in high school, I fucking guarantee it. But like,
yeah.
But when you get out of high school, like, you know, that stuff that you learn, like, you can almost write your own ticket, like, in, or at least get your foot in a door in radio.
Totally.
Which could lead to, like you said, any other medium. Like, if you're like, I want to.
Yeah,
be,
I feel like, and I know it's such a trope of like media about high school, but you know, the nerd sort of in the AV club. I feel like AV is flourishing among kids. You know, all these kids, they grow up watching YouTube, they grow up seeing
right.
these sort of creatives doing this thing, and they wonder how they can do it. I mean, I swear to God, my little brother was like 12 years old and he was editing video together. In a way that just like absolutely broke my father's brain, you know? Yeah, I mean, it is only going to get more accessible with time, you know?
Definitely. And like, I think like just like the stigma of being like the quote unquote nerd is like not there anymore. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, it's just like, yeah, man, like the people realize that like, this is a helpful thing. Like, yeah, I love radio.
We're even sort of past. I mean, there's like that whole like Chris Hardwick, sort of like mid 2010s, right. Where like there's this big drive that like actually being a nerd is cool. But now it's so normalized, you don't even need that. You know, you don't even need that sort of normalizing sort of positive pressure. It is sort of like a default in society now. You know that
right.
It's that nerd culture is.
Cool
part of the cultural landscape, you know, an acceptable part of the cultural landscape.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're talking to a 51 year old whose office is like all nerd culture shit, you know, like video games and action figures and like movies and horror movies. And
I would say my apartment is basically dedicated to like pulp sci-fi. Everything I read is sort of in the vein of, well, I like a lot of like classic literature too, but also sort of those like those pulp sci-fi magazines and that type of aesthetic.
Right. Nice. Well, sweet. Well, I guess like before we wrap it up, because we've just been bullshitting for like a long time, and it's, while it's fantastic, like maybe we should wrap it up. But before we do,
fair enough, certainly.
Is there anything else that you wanted to throw in there before we say goodbye?
No, I mean, just let me just go through very quickly. August 16th, Capital Region Feud. It's going to be a phenomenal time. A lot of your favorite local music personalities are going to be there. And that's going to be at the Mopco Theater, and you can get your tickets on their website. And then August 30th, the Quest Buds, our comedy D&D improv show, is going to be at Stax Espresso. And those tickets are on Eventbrite. And you can find me on Instagram at The Dojo Beyond. And, you know, that's not just me. That's a whole collective of people. But, you know, that's sort of where I put out my art and my work. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. And, well, you know, I'm sure we'll... You know, obviously we're going to meet in person when I'm a contestant on the Capital Region Feud, but I feel like we're going to do some more collaborations in the future. Like, I just feel that coming, you know?
Yeah, that would be awesome. That'd be awesome. I mean, yeah, we're clearly both interested in local music journalism and local entertainment journalism as in a whole. So, yeah, I'm very excited to meet you, boss.
Cool, man. All right. Well, that is Aiden Hennessy of Dojo Beyond Time and Space. I'm Andy Scullin. This is Unsigned 518, and I'll see you on the road.